the inward man coming alive, right? It goes also to the, Paul was at one point stoned and dragged out of the city for dead. But he wasn't dead. They thought they'd beat him to death and dragged him out of the city, and he got up and walked out, you know? He wasn't dead. As chastened and not killed. You know, God brings chastisement to us. Oh, Lord, I know He brings it to me. To put us on the right path. But to His enemies, He brings punishment and vengeance. So, things may happen to us that seem bad. But that won't finish us off. Not if God's in it. And sorrowful yet always rejoicing. I love that. Because some people say, you should rejoice. You're a Christian. You should have a happy face. I am rejoicing. I am happy. I'm a happy man. But there's sorrow in my life, you know, and things trouble me. And, you know, because you go like, look at Jesus. I think He rejoiced always in the Father and in the knowledge of who He was. But when He was in Gethsemane, He prayed and sweat great drops of blood. You know, He was in such a state of mental turmoil and anguish. And He cried on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He felt that is, I know a lot of people get a whole theology about God having forsaken Christ on the cross. That if you read Psalm 22, it's apparent. It says, He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither did He hide His face from him. But when He cried unto Him, He heard. God had not forsaken Christ. It's ridiculous. But Christ absolutely felt forsaken. And that's what I think He was echoing the sentiments of David, who always had faith in God, but who felt at times utterly forsaken. Who felt at times a feeling sorrow, forsakenness, even fear. Fear not. Well, only I fear not, but maybe just a little. You know? As poor, yet making many rich. How can the poor man make other people rich? By the gospel. I may not have much, and I am a poor man. In the way of the world. Some people look at me and they think, he's a very blessed man. Look at he's a musician. He has these beautiful children. I'm good at making children and making music. And though many may laugh, even at Bible study, yet at making money, I've never been really any good. I tend to make money go away. I'm not a very excellent businessman. I don't have many marketable skills. See. But what I do have, I have abundantly, and I give it abundantly, and I've enriched many lives by the gifts God has given me. And I trust that on the day of salvation, the day of the Lord, I mean, though today is the day of salvation, right? But, see, that's what I mean. You say it in a certain sense. I don't mean to contradict it before, but I mean that last day, you know, the day of judgment, that the Lord will have found me faithful in that which He gave me to do. That's what I'm most anxious to have. That He would find me faithful in that which I was given to do. So I definitely labor towards that end. It's very important to me. It's having nothing yet possessing all things. If you have, you know, as he said in, I think it was Ezekiel, he's talking about the Levites, but they give them no inheritance in my land because I am their inheritance. And we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, as it is written in the New Testament. We are heirs of all things, God's elect, His chosen. We possess everything. Yeah, look at this. I don't even own the land on which I sit. You know, some bank owns it. In fact, I can't ever own the land on which I sit, even if I should buy it, because I'll have to pay the government rent. So I really, you know, everything, it can be taken away. I mean, none of this is mine. Even the things I own, I count them not mine for the Lord's sake. Or I want that to be my mentality. I know. I mean, I think my car, my phone, my watch, whatever, but I think it's mine. But for the Lord's sake, I remember it is not mine. All things that I have been given to me. But on the other hand, God has given us all things. All the things He's given. All the things worth having. All the good things. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. I suppose that means we've opened our hearts to you. Like equivalent in English. We want to let you in. We want to entreat you. You're not, this verse is particular. You're not straitened in us. You know, to straighten, like we have a word, like we talk about being in dire straits, being in a difficult situation. Straits is someplace narrow and hemmed in, you know. So we haven't hemmed you. I mean, you are not hemmed in us, meaning it's sort of like we're not keeping you down. We aren't hemming you in. We aren't putting you in a corner. I'm using different ways of we express that in English by figures of speech. You're straightening your own bowels. It's within yourself that you are being straightened in. You know, Paul, obviously you listen to this whole first 5-6 chapters. There's a certain element of cautiousness. He talks about people having come with letters of recommendation. He talks about this, that, the other. So, you know, Paul, though confident in his office, knows that there are others out there. Corruptors. You know, and here...